Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The election is one thing that's on everybody's mind. It's certainly the water cooler moment this morning in every office and every business around the country. Who did you vote for and what the hell happened over the weekend? Well, it seems that Sinn Féin, of course, it was a landslide. Let's be clear. People said they wanted a change, and that's exactly what they're hopefully going to be given. And to give me more information on it at the moment is Sean Defoe, is a political correspondent. Good afternoon to you, Sean.
Afternoon.
84 seats filled. It looks like Sinn Féin, 31 of those seats. Fine Gael, 14. Fianna Fáil, 17. It was quite shocking, Sean, all day yesterday to watch the names we recognised, the people we're very familiar with, the TDs, many of them, by the way, disappearing altogether into the sunset, but many of those struggling and fighting for their seat, like Owen Murphy just at the moment didn't even reach the quota. So, I mean, it goes to show you how the people can change things.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, in the last minute, we've just had the final count there from Dublin Bay South, Owen Murphy's constituency. He's kept his seat, as has Jim O'Callaghan of Fianna Fáil, and then Chris Andrews for Sinn Féin has the ignominious honour of being elected to the Dáil for both Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil in the past life. That means TD Kate O'Connell losing her seat. So that brings us up to 87.
That was surprising, by the way, to see Kate, because she's been in the news quite a lot over the last few years as well, you know, for different things and bringing in different legislation. We would assume she would have been reasonably popular, but she seems to have suffered because of the rest of Fine Gael.
Yeah, there was kind of an assumption going into the election there was only one Fine Gael seat there. A lot of people thought Kate O'Connell would take it, given the difficulty Owen Murphy has had in the housing brief, but he's managed to keep the Fine Gael base there on his side and just keep ahead of her all the way. So it's actually Kate O'Connell who's lost out, despite, as you say, being a very effective TD in involved in the abortion referendum very heavily, also in the Dáil Public Accounts Committee, a really forensic questioner. Doubt it's the last time we've seen her in Irish politics, but it's actually a trend we're seeing in the last couple of days, that a huge amount of high-profile females.
Well, Regina Doherty, we've got Shane Ross, we've got Ruth Coppinger, we've got Catherine Sapone. There's many others are all disappearing, many of those names.
Lisa Chambers, Joan Burton, Ruth Coppinger, as you say, loads of them who have big names who have lost out their seats, and potentially more to come today.
Okay, so I mean, what's going to happen? Now, we've 83 seats or 84 seats filled now. I just heard mention this for the first time. There's no sitting TD in Waterford, of course, but for Fine Gael. Paddy Coffey is now calling on Leo Varadkar to step down as leader of Fine Gael. I mean, is that a possibility? Do you think Leo's going to hang in there?
I think he's going to try to hang in there. Paddy Coffey is the first out of the stable, but of course he can do it. He's already retired from public life. He doesn't have to be seeking election in the future, where a lot of them might have to. The rules that Fine Gael have is that after an election, if you don't go into government or if they aren't involved in talks for a government, there has to be a confidence motion in the party leader. So if it is that after all the dust is settled, whatever happens, say Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil cobble together a government or some other configuration without Fine Gael, then there does have to be a vote of confidence. But you've had high-profile figures like Simon Coveney, Pascal Donoghue out this morning saying that they are backing Leo Varadkar, that this election wasn't his fault as much as it was kind of an accumulation of 9 years of angst against Fine Gael and the handling of some other briefs.
So, and I'm sure, like everybody else, you watched it yesterday, and when we seen Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar and everybody else and Micheál Martin and all these individuals who normally would be just re-elected and we wouldn't think twice about it, all literally fighting for their positions and a very uncomfortable looking face on most of them standing in the counting centres wondering whether they're actually going to get in again. I mean, what do you think, Sean, actually happened here? Apart from, I suppose people wanted change. For some people, Sinn Féin was that change. Do you think Sinn Féin were just really good at branding over the last 3 or 4 weeks and kind of grabbed the enthusiasm of the younger voter, maybe?
I think Sinn Féin learned a huge amount of lessons from the local elections last year, where they lost a load of seats. They ran quite a negative campaign. It didn't resonate with people, and they got absolutely hammered for it. And this time around, what you saw is you saw Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil going to great lengths to hack lumps off each other and hack lumps off of Sinn Féin. And people going, well, actually, that's not really what I want. I want to know what you're going to do about housing. I can't buy a house. What are you going to do for me? I want to know about the health system. My mother's, whatever their personal stories
are. Sinn Féin's plans were very ambitious. I mean, even during the debates, we saw the suggestion of 100,000 new houses built in 5 years. So their plans were quite ambitious. I mean, was there a bad election strategy by Mary Lou there? Because realistically, no matter, even if they had got every seat, and it's predicted they'll get 37 or so, they're still never be able to go to form a government. Should she have put in a few running mates? But clearly she should have.
Definitely should have put in Brian Mays in her own constituency, Dublin South Central, Dublin South West, Waterford, Carrick-Kilkenny possibly even. There's areas around the country where had they had a second running mate, they absolutely would have brought in more seats. And that goes to show you the extent of how much of a surprise this was. It even caught people in Sinn Féin by surprise. I was talking to some people yesterday who were within Sinn Féin who said, had you told them 3 weeks ago that they'd come back with 19 or 20 seats, which would have been a loss, they'd have been pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the transfers. I mean, we're really in uncharted territory here when we look at the amount of transfers. For example, in Mary Lou's situation, twice the quota, realistically. I mean, I know the transfers tend to confuse everybody. They're going, well, hold on a second, how are people we didn't vote for actually getting in based on transfers? But, I mean, what do you think? I mean, what's your prediction what's going to happen? It looks like Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, provided they can get enough people in with them. Fianna Gael out of the loop maybe altogether. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, and just a brief point on the transfers you were talking about is actually they are going quite often to Solidarity People for Profit from Sinn Féin, so they are sticking left and they're after getting Breed Smith and Paul Murphy elected. Could actually have a shock in Dublin North West where Conor Reddy is right behind Paul McAuliffe for a season. Paul McAuliffe looking like he might need Fine Gael's Noel Rock to get him elected. But in terms of the numbers, I mean, it's probably the most fractured doll we're ever going to see. Incredibly hard to see how you can get a stable government out of it.
But it's going to take months, isn't it?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's one of the things that you think could take months, but actually could be done quite quickly if they got down to it. Because if two of the three big parties actually got together and decided to do something, then we could see results relatively quickly in a matter of weeks. But I think there's only real two options on the table. One is Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil finally doing the grand coalition and going in together. I think that's unlikely. I think both parties have huge problems with that. And the other is Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin. You've already heard Micheál Martin in the last 24 hours softening his position towards
Sinn Féin. Well, he did soften. I mean, Fine Gael obviously haven't softened their position. Leo is quite adamant that he would not be going into government. Not that he might be given the opportunity anyway to go into government with Sinn Féin. But, I mean, would it be in Sinn Féin's interest to maybe take a risk and take a gamble and push for another election?
Possibly, but the electorate can often be quite fickle when you do that. If it's seen as a very obvious ploy that Sinn Féin just want to get, you know, 10 more seats by running more candidates, and they've made everyone go through all the hassle and pain of another election and all the cost of another election as well to actually do that, I'm not entirely sure they'd be rewarded. So they have been given something that they've never had before, and that's a mandate to actually go into government. And what's going to be fascinating to see how they actually use that. Does Mary Lou McDonald approach it really constructively and try to form that government? You think Fianna Fáil are the obvious partners, but there's huge difficulties and huge differences between the two parties and what they want from the country. But it could be the most interesting experimental government.
I would imagine so. And I suppose the big question there is who's going to be the Taoiseach. Now, of course, they could share the job, essentially 2 years each or 2 or 3 years each. I mean, realistically, Micheál Martin was most likely going to be the Taoiseach, although Mary Lou got more votes, so she'd want to be the Taoiseach.
Yeah, it depends how it kind of goes back to the old Donald Trump Hillary Clinton argument, doesn't it? Whereby Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, and yet Donald Trump is the president because he won the Electoral College.
Are we suggesting Micheál Martin is like Donald Trump?
I'm not sure he's entirely. He's less hair, maybe.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're going to watch as the day goes on, of course. There was 26 constituencies still to be filled. There was a remaining 82 seats, but now there's a lot less than that. 84 seats have now been filled. We'll keep up to date with it. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Sean Defoe. Appreciate you coming on the air. There you go, Sean Defoe, political correspondent. Let me go to Carl Dieter as well. Carl, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing okay, Niall. How are you?
Carl, we had a little WhatsApp conversation over the weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, just mourning the loss of life as we know it. No,
I mean, it's a shame. Well, here's the thing, Carl, right? Obviously, people have lost faith in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. We accept that, okay? Sinn Féin was the only option, really, for change, unless you wanted to go for the Green Party and a few independents.
Yeah, well, look, I think what happens is that people in the past always wanted to teach a lesson to the people in power that we'll go elsewhere because you don't listen to us. I don't think there's ever been an electorate that has ever said, yes, the politics is great, and, you know, we think they did a good job and they listened to us. And that's why you get this back and forth. Now, sometimes they punish the politicians by not voting for them as much as they would have, and then these parties have to form coalitions, say with Fianna Fáil, with the likes of the PDs or Labour or the Green Party, and vice versa with Fianna Gael. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael being the big parties. But this time, because they were in a confidence and supply, if you wanted to teach the rulers of the day a lesson, you're dead right. You had to go somewhere else.
Because you had to hit both of them at the same time. Yeah, because we basically saw them as two cheeks at the same bottom, essentially.
Yeah, and I think that Fine Gael, to a certain extent, had a message that was, look, we're going to try and get people back to where we were in the good times, But if you didn't have money in the past, well, then you're going to be forgotten in this new process. And I do think that that's a message that Sinn Féin resonate quite strongly with, is a return to people who aren't doing that well and saying, look, you really matter to us. We want to improve your lot. Now, I doubt that any political party is out there saying, no, we want to make people more miserable, but they just don't message it as well. And the message of recovery can be lost if people refuse to believe it.
But you're looking at a party who takes their influence from Venezuela and Cuba. So, I mean, realistically, will a socialist party, and they are a socialist party, and they're going to have a fair, obviously, percentage of government now and a fair influence on government. I mean, is that going to be damaging to the Irish economy from the point of view of, say, foreign investment, point of view of multinational companies who are enjoying a reasonably decent corporation tax? I mean, where is that going to leave us?
Well, we always suffer from this delusion of thinking that we matter in the world. It's a specifically Irish delusion, I guess, is the best word. Now, this is a small country on the edge of Europe, and we do a couple of things really well. We do things like attract foreign direct investment. We have a fairly decent education system, which turns out, you know, ready and able workers. But, for instance, last night, Bloomberg wrote an article saying it could be time to dump your government debt now for Ireland. And so within a hint of certain powers gaining any influence, that's the way parts of the business community are reacting. Now,
what you're saying, Carl, is we're essentially like a business, and other parties around the world and other countries around the world are looking at our share prices dropping.
Well, they're looking
is the
share price there a justified valuation? And I think that they're saying, look, you know, let's just break this down in economic terms. All of the parties are ambitious to an extent that it's none of their promises are real. They might say that it's costed, but because you write something down and someone puts something into a spreadsheet, it doesn't make it real. This is a very important point. It doesn't make it real. And we're at a point in the economic cycle with record low unemployment, record high tax takes on both corporation tax and income tax. Everything is going great. And at a moment in time like this, we should be paying down our debt and ideally
trying to control spending. Carl, instead, they're going to cut taxes
and increase spending.
Yeah, but Carl, when you use the word everything is going great, right? It's going great, generally speaking, and it's a lot better than it was. And yes, you may have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to thank for that, okay, over the last 10 years. And, of course, the Troika as well. But in saying that, we have a problem in our health service, which is an ongoing problem for the last 20 years. We have a problem with housing, which is
totally agree. And I think
that's what they're being punished for.
Yeah, Eoin Óibrín was excellent on housing, remains excellent on housing. And when you look at that side of Sinn Féin, you cannot help but be impressed.
But mind you, their plan for 100,000 houses in 5 years is extremely ambitious and unaffordable. And what it reminds me of is
50,000 houses because they're actually using the 50,000 other houses that were already planned by.
But it's still ambitious, whatever way you look at it. It still works out at 150 grand a house or something like that, I was reading during the week, which is kind of completely unrealistic. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you saw a failing business and you said, right, I'm going to buy that business and I'm going to turn it around. So you go out there and you purchase the business and you get it for a reasonable price. And this is the analogy I'm using. And you walk into the office on day one and you sit down with the accountant and you go, right, we need to spend more money on marketing. We need to spend more money on ordering the right goods. We need to get some clever people in here. And I want to pay more money to the staff so they'll be more productive. And all of a sudden you look at the books. The accountant goes, well, we've been telling them this for the last 7 years. We don't have the money to do that. Uh-huh. This is what this reminds me of. So all of a sudden we have a new party going in with, you know, guns blazing, thinking they can do wonders. They walk into the doll on the first day and they look at the books and they go, oh, there's not a lot more really we can do about this.
Well, they'll do exactly what everyone else does. They'll roll back on their election promises because that is the only way that they can keep the show on the road. But what I'm trying to make the point at, and the one that remains the most prescient issue, is that all of the parties came out and promised to lower your tax bill, increase spending at a time when those are some of the last things we should be doing. In particular, looking at lowering USC, which is one of the most effective taxes that brings the rich who have well-paid people to help them avoid tax, it brings them into the tax loop, and it keeps the lower earners who, in this country, we have an obsession with ensuring they don't pay their way in taxation. It takes all of them into the tax net. It's a very good tax because everyone has to pay it. And we have people who say that they want to, you know, abolish it up to a certain extent and lower it.
Sinn Féin want to abolish immediately, they're going to abolish property tax. That's over 500 million a year.
Yeah, and that's going to gut the local authorities.
Well, it's got to come from somewhere, hasn't it? It has to be paid.
I think what Sinn Féin should do is show some, you know, they say that they're an All-Ireland party. They should take an All-Ireland success story approach, but they don't. They're completely hypocritical. You know, they raise the retirement age in the north. They're against it in the south. They support rates, which are property taxes in the north, of 1,200 sterling on average, and they want to get rid of, you know, €250 a house in the south. I think that what Sinn Féin ideally ought to do is actually say, no, we're going to move to a North of Ireland-style rating system where you really do pay something significant, but you get a lot of services in return. You get your bins. We're going to make sure that it's run well. Now, those are all local authority things, but on the taxation side, they do control that. And if they got property taxes, what I'm telling you now is we are still going to have to pay because it won't be run for free, and they do have to be run. But it's going to cause irreparable damage across local authorities because that is a very important way of funding them.
Okay, so Carl, give me your prediction, just very quickly, because I know you're pushed for time as well, but give me your prediction over the next 2 weeks. What I mean, I'm looking here, for example, 90 seats have now been filled. Fine Gael have just grabbed a few there a few minutes ago. Fine Gael, John, Paul Phelan, and Fianna Fáil's Jennifer Moran, O'Connor, both elected in Carlow, Kilkenny, right? So they've 17 seats, Fine Gael, 19 for Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin 32 so far, and let's just ignore the rest for the moment.
Yeah, well, what I would say is, people are saying that, oh, you know, everyone has spoken, we need a new government. I don't know that that's necessarily true. The status quo is a very powerful argument. And let's not forget, it doesn't matter how Sinn Féin surge. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are still the most popular parties. And they've worked together successfully for the last number of years.
Yeah, but you're saying they're still the most popular parties only because they ran more candidates in the election. If Sinn Féin, I mean, here's a guess, if Sinn Féin had ran 80 candidates in this election or 60 candidates, they probably would have got more seats.
Well, you know, this just gets back, Niall, to the idea that if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. I don't think that that has anything to do with it. We can only work.
But when you said that the most popular parties, they may have been the most popular parties. It doesn't look like they are now.
Well, look, in terms of filling seats, I think that it's a natural conclusion is for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to look at each other and say, you know what, despite our differences, it's better the devil that you know. And they don't then have to court a rising popular party which would naturally want to usurp their position and do so at a time when they know that they're going to fall to the wayside with this other stakeholder.
This was kind of inevitable, Carl, because for many years Sinn Féin, of course, were connected to the IRA, and I suppose who would have been post-Troubles. Yeah, okay, but for the young voter who are post-Troubles, I mean, they're not making that connection. The average millennial, for example, or 25-year-old is not making that connection between Sinn Féin and the IRA. Unless, of course, they listen to Desi Ellis' supporters yesterday singing Come Out You Black and Tans.
I was actually at a housing thing a while ago and Owen O'Brien was at it, and he was talking about the developer, Tom McFeely, and I was thinking, you know, it's interesting. He's one of, you know, he was a hunger striker. And you know, as far as I could recall, he was always strong politically supporting them. So, you know, what happens is Sinn Féin eventually has to leave that behind. The time of the revolution is gone. And I think they want to, and there's a lot of people
I don't necessarily agree with you. When you have, like last year, when you had Mary Lou MacDonald at the end of a speech shouting, Chucky Arlor, I don't believe for a minute they want to leave that behind. I believe that's always going to be there.
Well, if it is, then they won't be able to succeed, because I think that a lot of people who agree with the Sinn Féin social agenda don't agree with that element of a political agenda. And for that reason, if they want to move on, certainly in southern politics, they can't hold on to a militant element of that party.
Okay, well, listen, Carl, I wish love you and leave you, but I'm pretty sure we'll talk to you over the next week or so. Decisions will have to be made in relation to a government. Robbie, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Robbie?
Not bad, and yourself?
Who did you vote for, Robbie? Can I ask you?
Yeah, Sinn Féin.
Okay, so Sinn Féin all the way? Did you go down the sheet, or did you just give one or two?
I went down, what did I do? I think there was about 12 in my area. I went down about 5.
Okay.
I had two Sinn Féin in my area. I was one of the areas with two.
Okay, and did you give Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael anything at all?
No, I never did in my life, like, to be honest.
So you're a Sinn Féin voter, an independent voter. Okay. All right, so, I mean, are you happy with the result?
Obviously. I'm absolutely delighted with the result, yeah. But let's see where it goes now, you know. There's a lot. Like, the hard work starts now, you know.
See, it's all well and good, and I know we're losing loads of traditional names that people are familiar with. Some of them, by the way, we're all glad to see the back of them. I hope they close the door after them, right? But there's others there, maybe not, okay? And you've got a whole load of new people been elected, which is, okay, people are going to say that's a good thing for the country, all right? But they're going into a job, you know, into the Dáil on the first day, you know, fresh, don't have a great understanding of what's going on and how to get around it, and it'll take them a bit of time. Can we afford to mess with the country like that?
I mean, Eamon de Valera had to find his way around the Dáil when he got there for the first time, you know. That's something. Like, there's got to be a lot of experienced people in and around all these new people as well. That's something you have to remember as well. And, I mean, people were elected on policy platforms. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look at Mary Lou and the likes of those, and Piers Doherty and even the new people in, say, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who are getting elected as well. Like, they've got experienced people around them who will guide them through it. You know, like, their politics are still the politics if they don't know where the canteen is, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of people got voted in yesterday, and I've noticed this, who probably didn't deserve to be in there, but they got in, of course, because we had this very unprecedented situation where there were so many transfers from Sinn Féin candidates because there were no other Sinn Féin candidates in the area. So you had other, like, people for profit who would have probably not been elected only because of these transfers.
Well, I mean, look, that's the way it is. I mean, look, you put yourself forward for election, you get elected, you deserve to get elected because...
Well, I don't
necessarily
always agree with that. It depends on how the transfers work. There's some people in there didn't deserve to be elected, but however...
The transfer works for everybody, you know what I mean? There's certain Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael people are getting elected because of transfers
too. Absolutely, yeah.
You know? So, look, the whole thing with Sinn Féin, like, I mean, the huge surplus, nobody's seen that. You know, not even Sinn Féin seen that.
No, I didn't. Well, I certainly didn't see it.
Well, I didn't see the surplus.
I watched the polls like everybody else, and I found the polls to be quite unbelievable, and because they'd gone up so quickly, so fast in the space of 2 weeks, right? Now, there was a few factors there in that. They got a lot of publicity over the fact that Mary Lou wasn't allowed initially onto the debate. That was good publicity for them. You had the poor guy that was shoveled up by the JCB. That didn't do Fine Gael any good because the publicity surrounding that. You had the RIC commemorations. That was a big nail in the cross for Fine Gael. So there was a lot of stuff leading up to the election, which did Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil a lot of damage because people see them together. And Sinn Féin, obviously, it got their branding out there, particularly for the younger voter as well.
Yeah, and I mean...
But I'm worried. I am worried, Robbie, because it's unfamiliar territory for Sinn Féin. I mean, look, they haven't got a great success rate in Northern Ireland.
Look, I'm not worried. And the whole thing as well, Carl Dieter pointed it out there as well, the likes of Piers Doherty and Ón O'Brien resonated with the electorate because, as he said, they're very, very good.
They are good at the job. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And, like, so there's a positive thing to take out of it. Yes, they may be new. The formation of the government is going to be interesting to see. I'm not worried, you know, because when you're talking there about the money and the economy and all that, I think the money will probably just be directed into different areas.
Yeah, but as Carl Riley points out, why would you get rid of... I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure everybody would love to see the end of USC and property tax, but why would you get rid of it when we need the money? Because we need to continue as we move on. We're reasonably successful at the moment. We've a few things to fix, we know that. But why would you mess around with the economics of it?
Well, I mean, I think the problem with the economics of it was that Fine Gael was telling everybody, you know, everything is great, and people were going... You know, it's not. I can't afford a house. The healthcare's in bits. I mean, I'm on a 0 hours contract in work. I'm not guaranteed my job. You know, so it depends on where you were to say that the economy was in a great place.
But it's easy for Sinn Féin to come along and do a bit of populist politics and say, yeah, look, we'll build loads of houses. We'll fix the healthcare service and get it like the NHS. You know, we'll cut USC. We'll cut property tax and put a load of money back in your pocket. Anybody can come out and say that, but it's achieving it is going to be the problem without doing more damage.
You don't know that. I mean, look at a politic being populist. There's a shocker. You know, like, It's time for change, as the people said. And it looks like we're going to get that change. We're certainly going to get that change. In what format now is going to be the interesting thing. Micheál Martin has already rolled back in saying that he's opened his door to talk to everybody. Now, I do not want to see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael together. If they do that, it's suicide because Sinn Féin will gobble that up and will kill Fianna Fáil. I don't want to see Sinn Féin going with Fine Gael. I really do not want to see that. And the formation of a left government is just not there. You know, Paul Morphy and all can say, don't talk to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But, like, I think if you add it all up, the possibility of a left-leaning government, I don't think they'd even make 55 seats. So you're not anywhere close to getting near the government. So I think the only option...
I think Mary Lou is quite ambitious. She might want to be Taoiseach.
I don't know. I mean, this way around, like, as I said,
they could gamble on a second election. I mean, they could.
No, I can't see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want that again.
Nope.
Because Sinn Féin will run more candidates and will get...
they'll get a majority, most likely.
I don't know about a majority, but they'll get a lot more seats. But the thing is as well, as Carol rightly said, that you don't want to be the party to say, like, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that, and drag all the people back out to the polls. I honestly think that if I was a betting man and I was going to put my money on anything, it's going to be a Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil government.
It is a bit of a Mary Lou monsoon, all right. And by the way, Mary Lou has said, we want to talk to anyone who's interested in delivering a programme for government. That is about getting to grips with the housing crisis and solving it. Getting to grips with the crisis in health and giving families and workers a break and giving a new lease of life to government. Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. Let me go to James. James, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, James?
Good afternoon to you, Niall.
James, you're devastated.
You know, the Chinese, they have a wish, may you live in interesting times.
We do live in interesting times. Yeah.
Well, I know what I'm very grateful this morning. I'm very grateful that Mary Lou didn't run as many candidates as she could have now.
Mm.
Then we'd be in real trouble.
What part of Cork are you in? Are you in North Central, North West?
North Central. I won't explain too much how
Well, Thomas Gould did quite well there, didn't he?
The people, so I won't bore your listeners. I voted really particularly for a pro-life candidate, Niall. He was independent Fianna Fáil.
Okay.
And I also voted, like, strategically so that Micheál Martin would be Taoiseach.
Right, okay. Well, Thomas Gould from Sinn Féin, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yes, was in there, well in there.
Knocked everyone out of the park now.
He did, absolutely, yeah.
Yes, but see, what people are forgetting is this, one small thing. Something I saw this morning now, which I never saw before after an election in my life now, and I looked at a lot of elections now, a fairly significant fall in the stock market in Dublin this morning.
Well, I don't know whether that was coincidental, although Carl did mention
that's
that.
That's investor sentiment. That's people with money worried now.
Well, I think you would probably find in most elections or situations where, like a Brexit or whatever, you will always find the stock market will drop a bit when there's a level of uncertainty. And there is a level of uncertainty.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be natural economics for the stock
market.
Well,
I haven't seen that before in Ireland.
Maybe you haven't seen it. I'm sure it happened.
Because it's usually, I suppose, not as extreme as this.
Okay, but what's the worst? I mean, what's the worst that can happen, James?
Well, see, what people are forgetting one thing is now, this idea that the Sinn Féin can go in and they can build these many houses and they can do this, they're forgetting that those days are gone now, Niall, that you can do what you like. You will have to get approval from the European Union for your budget. You have to keep within fiscal rules now. Everything has changed after the crash, Niall. So there's no such thing as, we'll spend what we like Charlie McCreevy used to do. You must spend now within your means now, or the European Union will be down on you like a ton of bricks.
There is no doubt there's going to be restrictions on what Sinn Féin can do, but Sinn Féin obviously believe, and Ona Brin believes, because I'm assuming that if there's a government formed, that Ona Brin may be the next housing minister, because he is good at the job and knows a lot about it, but I'm assuming there will be limits on what he can and can't do, and their plans do seem ambitious. I mean, Robbie, I mean, that's a good point. There is going to be limits on what they can do, and making false promises maybe might, you know, piss off the general public a little bit.
Who said the false promises? They haven't even got into government
yet.
Well,
every politician makes false promises anyway.
They all make promises, yeah. But look, the stock market went through the floor, by the way, in 2011, just to let you know, when the crash came in. But, I mean, look, promises in election time is what they are. They're promises in election time. And every single party in the history of politics across the globe has made promises. Because the thing for going into coalition government, which is a new thing here in this country, and it's called compromise. And that's going to have to happen. If Micheál Martin thinks he's going to have everything his own way, or Mary Lou thinks she's going to have her own way if they go into government together, then they're just... And they know well that they're going to have to compromise with each other when they do go into government. Because, there's certain things in both manifestos that each party won't agree with. So instead of getting 100,000 houses over the next 5 years, you'll probably get 75, you know?
Okay, and what about abolishing property tax in USC? Micheál Martin is not going to agree to that, is he?
I don't know. Look, that's something we'll find out as the days and weeks unfold, you know. These will be the things that they'll have to sit down and iron out. I'm not privy to what the negotiations are going to be, and none of us are, but we'll just have to wait and see what comes from it.
Hang on a second. I just want to mention as well that the outgoing junior minister for business, Pat Breen Fine Gael, has been eliminated. Also, Fianna Fáil's Catherine Arda has also been eliminated. And I mentioned as well that Pauline Tully has just been elected in Cavan and Monaghan.
Did you notice now? You know what they say, the things who change, the more they say the same. Did you see the man that topped the poll yet again in Tipperary?
I did, Michael Leary, yes.
Yet again.
Jesus Christ.
He's like a god up there now.
God love him. Yeah, they love him.
You wouldn't want to say a word about him in Tipperary.
No, he could do anything he wants, really, can't he? You know, it doesn't really matter.
The Healy Rays the same.
Yeah.
Just going back to that Catherine Arda one getting eliminated, you don't know who's still there then, do you? Is that Catherine Bourne and John Collins for the last season?
I don't know. I'm only getting the tops and tails of the news coming in here, just on the wire there.
She was red hot to get a seat here.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. There. Everything in this election has just been surprising. It just really has.
Noel Grealish got in now?
Yep. I mean, our friend of the show here, who has been with us on a regular basis, well, I thought was Noel Rock, Fine Gael. I thought he was really popular in his area, and I think he is.
He only just about got in the last time, you see.
It looks unlikely. He could still get in, but he seems to have ruled himself out already.
He has, yeah. No, he lost a proportion of his electoral area.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been kind of his end of the area, if you get me.
Yep.
So it was going to be one. And then when Desi Ellis came in with a gazillion votes.
Yep.
And then you had Roisin and Shortell there anywhere. But it looks like your man McAuliffe is Fianna Fáil, the ex-Lord Mayor. He's in trouble. It looks like the people before profit might get in ahead with Desi Ellis transfers.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the results coming in here, and I know Helena's given me one or two of them as well. Let me just go to Patrick as well. Patrick, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Patrick?
Hi, Nan. How are you?
Good, Patrick. You believe it's a wake-up call for the electorate?
Well, for
the government, more so the electorate.
Well, I think they were complacent because they were attacking Sinn Féin. It was all like negative campaigning, really, you know? So, whereas Sinn Féin...
Well, they were attacking each other as well, weren't they?
Yeah, it was all negative.
And Sinn Féin were more... They weren't really attacking Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael the way that one might expect from previous elections, you know? And I think Mary Lou was the big difference, because had Gerry Adams been there, he wouldn't have been much good at the debating, whereas Mary Lou was very good at debating and everything else on TV, you know.
I'm wondering, you know, where it's going to go from here now. Patrick, who did you vote for, by the way, Patrick?
Well, my preference really was a mixture of Labour, Greens, Fine Gael, you know, so that's what I wanted. Well, I was looking for stability, really, you know.
Right, okay. And what do you think is going to happen now, or what would you like to see happen now?
Well, I suppose the most the stable would be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Grand Coalition from the point of view they're similar policies, and Fine Gael won't go into power with Sinn Féin anyway, and Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, it may not last the course of time, you know?
So. Yeah, well, I don't think it will last the course of time. This is the problem, isn't it? I mean, Robbie, you're very... I know you're a Sinn Féin fan and everything else, but, you know, it's not easy. I mean, people think running a country is something that's fair, you know, it should be taken quite lightly.
Nobody's saying that. Like, I'm more of a glass half full type of person, you know. I mean, like, first and foremost, nobody has agreed to go into government with each other yet. And, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see how that... I'm, as I said, a glass half full. I said, hopefully, whatever the government turns out to be, I always hope that the government does well. Because, you know, I'm in this country and I'd hope that the country goes well. But let's just wait and see what happens. Like, I'm sticking to my guess of Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin government. Because I think it's working out, they probably walk in, getting in around 82, 83, and you might have the Healy Rays and probably Matty McGrath there in the background to kind of top it up, you know?
Yeah, the parish pump politics still seems to work, doesn't it, when we talk about Michael Leary a few minutes ago and the Healy Rays.
Did you see the figure there on Saturday night, I think it was, or last night, sorry, and they were shown that it was something to say with your TD that you elect. Are you electing them on local interests or national interests? And it was something like, it was 57% was on local and 43% was on national.
Yeah, it's what can they do for me, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it just shows that parish pump thing is still there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you have your TDs to legislate and then you have your councillors to do the local stuff, but people just don't...
Well, that's the idea of having a ballot sheet, that generally most people pick their local guy, give him a number one, and then they will give the national guy number two, or whoever, the national party number two. Yes, sorry, James.
I see there's a big change now from my time, Alan, in recent years. The days now, probably like in your time now, parties could go around and recognise the houses that would support them. Now the young people are not going to vote for their parents anymore. Now they're not going to be a Fianna Fáil house. You know what I mean? Yeah, that kind of thing. A Fianna Gael house.
What was your house, by the way, James? Was your house a Fianna Fáil house?
More or less, yes. My father would vote Fianna Fáil and my mother.
Yeah, I tell you, Robbie, your house was Fianna Fáil, was it?
No, on my mother's side, they would have been a Fine Gael side. On my father's side, it would have been Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin Republican side. But my mother and father's household now would be... kind of Sinn Féin. Well, there's what, five kids, my mother and your father are there. I'd say probably about five would be Sinn Féin.
Yeah, my father was that, and my mother, I think, were both Fianna Fáil. They
also now, you have new Irish citizens now. We have no allegiance anywhere now.
Well, true, they're all new to the game. Yeah, they've no idea. They don't know the history of it.
Yeah, and you know what? I was talking to some young people in the local shop there yesterday, and there was about five of them working in the local centre, and four of them had voted and one of them didn't. And the four got out to the one who didn't vote, which was great. But the three of the four voted for Sinn Féin. And they basically told me that they couldn't care less about the past. And one of them turned around and said to me, I swear to God, right? Turned around and said to me, I'm not worried about what happened 50 years ago. I'm what's worried is what's going to happen now and in another 20 years.
But it's not 50 years ago, Robbie. It's still happening.
No, I'm just telling you, this is what happening. It's said. This is what they said.
I know, but they don't. And that I did mention that earlier on with Tashan Defoe. I don't believe that people connect, or younger people, particularly the millennials and the youngers, will connect Sinn Féin to the past.
No, they don't care.
And to the IRA, obviously.
Yeah, they don't care.
Well, I think it's important that people do care, because there is still the remnants of it there.
I know. I think it's important that we remember history. But I mean, like, the ones who bring it up most of the time is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you know?
Well, that's because the stories end up in the news where you've got Sinn Féin denying their, you know, their, or should I say, not condoning, you know, certain situations that happen, you know, that where you see terrorist activity and you'll see, you know, Sinn Féin won't condemn it or whatever it happens to be. That's why, on a regular basis, that kind of stuff comes up in the news, because it's still there. It still lingers through the party.
I mean, that's a long time gone. The whole thing is that people are looking to the future. They don't remembering the past and remembering the mistakes of the past on all sides, by the way. And let's move forward to the future, because if we keep reminiscing on the past, you'll never move forward.
Well, I'm not the one reminiscing. I'm not the one who shouts Chucky or Laura at the end of a speech. But sorry, James. Yeah.
I'll come out black and tans
while they're winning
elections.
They're
going to keep that. Mary Lou's going to keep that Chucky or Laura, because there's a certain amount of people follow them for that, Niall.
Yeah, but I mean, yesterday at the elections, you know, Desi Ellis's supporters were singing "Come Out Ye Black and Tans."
I saw that, Niall.
I mean, you know, an election count centre is not the place to be doing something like that. A pub, you know, pissed on a Saturday night with all your Republican buddies is a place to do something like that.
Well, Mary Lou did say that now, in fairness to her.
Yeah, which?
Not in them words, but she did say, yeah.
It wasn't the time and the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way, she did say that. But actually, the Come Out in Black and Tans is a song about a unionist and a Republican.
There was one of the canvassers, from what we believe, because the video going around, one of the canvassers for Sinn Féin during the week had a van or a speaker sticking out of it with "Ooh Ah Up the Ra" playing on it. I mean, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, to suggest that it's completely gone is nonsense. It is.
The songs and all. People still play Republican and Rebel songs. Look, I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Well, you play them in your house or in the pub. But not when you're campaigning, or not when you're, you know, winning elections in a count centre. You know, that doesn't sound too good. Joseph, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Joseph?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Joseph, I mean, I don't know what way you would vote, because you've been kind of very disconnected from government over the last 3 years that I've spoken to you in relation to different things, including abortion and same-sex marriage and everything else that goes along with it.
There's nobody to vote for. I didn't vote for anybody.
Well, then, see, the argument is if you didn't vote, you can't give it.
I can't vote. Who can I vote for? Tell me. I can't vote.
Was there no independence? What about AIM 2? They'd be kind of pro-life. That's what you're into.
AIM 2.
Did you vote for them? Well, they didn't probably run somebody in your area, did they?
No, they didn't. So.
Right, okay. So,
but the thing is, the reality is, look, Fine Gael have no one to blame but themselves. Not that I have any sympathy for them whatsoever. But what's coming is much worse. All they had to do was build a few houses, and they'd be back in government. If they had taken the money that they ploughed into that hole that they call the Children's Hospital, which is only a dump, and put it out on some greenfield site, and took the rest of the money and put it into building houses, they'd be back in government again.
I don't think it's that simplistic.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a plan to build a hospital there. Obviously, it ran over. I mean, we all know what happened there, okay?
Yeah, but I mean...
But it was a mess. But I don't think it's that simplistic to suddenly build houses. I mean, nobody can wave a magic wand, you know what I mean?
No, if they had put the money... They had money for their little grand projects, right? But if they had put the money into... Because it was... why have the young folk gone here socialist? Well, it's a trend anyway worldwide. If you go to college, you'll go socialist anyway. Look at all Bernie Sanders supporters. Because it's free. But in reality, Fine Gael should have gone a little bit socialist there. They are anyway. But all they had to do was build houses. They didn't do it. Keep the rents down. They didn't do it. They allowed the vulture funds to come in. That really... It really grated on people at the end, you see, when the rents were going up and up and up, and they saw the vulture funds coming in, and Fine Gael was behind all of this. Fine Gael
knows. And Fianna Fáil were guilty by association.
Absolutely, yes. They were in the government together. They could say, oh, they weren't. They were. They voted.
Well, no, of course they were, yeah.
And, you know, I believe Micheál Martin right now, I think he's really looking at Sinn Féin. He's going, well, this is my last chance to be Taoiseach.
Well, it is his last chance to be Taoiseach. Yeah. He's probably not going to be leader of the party for much longer. So
I don't think so. He can't sit around on the fence forever.
No. Well, look, he's getting older apart from anything else. So how? What's the prospect of a kind of Fianna Fáil Sinn Féin government?
I think it was the one I was thought was most likely was, because I thought Fianna Fáil wouldn't, but you see, it's because Sinn Féin didn't run enough candidates. I thought it was going to be a Green Labour Fianna Fáil government, which would have been a nightmare from hell. The fact that the Greens can be kept out might, but Sinn Féin are still a disaster. I mean, Venezuela, go to Venezuela if you like Sinn Féin, you know.
I'm looking here at some of the news coming in of Micheál Martin has said he opens the door to a coalition with Sinn Féin.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me at all. No, he has no option. What else is he going to do?
He doesn't have. You're right. He doesn't have an option. But you're deeply disappointed. And where do you see the future of the country then in, say, 5 years' time?
Where do I see the country in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
Bankrupt.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Pat, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Pat?
How are you, Niall? How's it going?
Obviously, Joseph believes that Sinn Féin, well, some people believe that, by the way, with the promises they've made, they'll bankrupt the country. Well, mind you, they won't get the opportunity. They're going to be in coalition, so they might not get the opportunity to do that. But
well, number one, Colin McCarthy, the well-known economist, well-respected economist, before when the election was called, he was speaking. And he said that he was in the bowels of the Department of Finance, and the money that these guys, including Sinn Féin, including Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, was talking about, the promises they were willing to make to the electorate, the money's just simply not there.
No, it's not there.
To be honest. And anyone who thinks it is, that they're going to have these magic beans is going to suddenly appear into a crock of gold for everybody. It's not going to happen. And what's more important, what's happened here is that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, to maybe a lesser extent, has been given a bloody nose. And it just so happened that Sinn Féin was there to capitalise on what happened. It's as simple as that. And what's going to happen as well is here is that Micheál Martin is already, he wants to marry Mary Lou. He just wants to get in. He just wants to be Taoiseach. And he just wants, so he already has the decision made. He'll do anything right now, Fianna Fáil.
Oh, he will, yeah.
He gets to go. It doesn't matter who it was.
He wants to be Taoiseach. Just very, very, very quickly, because I'm running out of time. Yes, sorry, Joe, I want to say something to Pat. Go ahead.
I can tell you this much, because I was talking to someone who knows, has her finger to the wind. The real business community were terrified of Sinn Féin getting them.
I would imagine the multinationals particularly would be terrified of Sinn Féin getting into government, because they have already said they would increase corporation tax, which is going to be devastating, I believe, to foreign investment in this country. But however, Pat, the thing about it is, you're right. The general public wanted to give Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, as you put it, a bloody nose. Sinn Féin just happened to be around. But this, if it doesn't work out, and I wish them well, could be very damaging for the economy of Ireland if Sinn Féin get to do what they actually want to do.
The danger here is you're going to have two factions. you're going to have the people who really, really wanted to have, who always voted for Sinn Féin. And the housing policy, to be very careful here, because you're going to have situations where people will just say, for lack of a better way, aren't exactly great contributors to the economy, right?
Yes.
Who are going to be, you know, a net recipient for other people who are contributing an awful lot more.
So in other words, what you're essentially saying is this socialist idea where they get their influence from Venezuela and Cuba, we know that, is basically going to give to people who are never going to contribute.
Yeah, which is not really a good idea.
No, no. All it'll do is increase the sense of entitlement. Maliki, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Maliki?
Good afternoon, Niall.
You're not the biggest fan of Sinn Féin in the world, I'm well aware of that.
Well, yes, but I mean, we have to respect, you know, the decision the people have made. And that seems to be something that the establishment
it's a,
class...
It's a landslide!
Well, I mean, the establishment class in this country, whether it be RTE and, you know, the two former big political parties, just seem incapable of accepting that the people have decided other than what they've been told to decide. And I think, you know, when we come out of this process, I think the role of RTE particularly has to be questioned. And all of the things that they threw at Sinn Féin leaders, and particularly in the final week of the campaign when they seen the opinion polls, in an attempt to turn the opinion polls back, you know, has been nothing short of disgraceful. And
well, hang on, if you're talking about the final debate, you know, okay, I mean...
No, I'm talking about, for instance, the wheeling out of the Quinn issue. And it's been shown by the people...
But you don't believe that you don't believe that was an issue?
Well, it doesn't matter whether I think it was an issue.
You don't believe an apology was needed for that family?
Hold on. Hundreds of thousands of people in this country decided that it wasn't an issue.
Well, it certainly was an issue. But and Maliki, hang on, you're the very one who raised the issue in relation to Sinn Féin of the Special Criminal Court. That was an issue that was raised, for example, by RTE, which was a kind of slur against Sinn Féin. I mean, you brought that up as an issue too. You believe that was important.
I didn't have a problem with their position on it. What I pointed out was that Amnesty International, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, and the Green Party, for instance, all want the abolition of the Special Criminal Court. I think that when the question was posed, I think the answer could have been better. And my answer to it would have been that while people support, in general, the long historical practice of trial by jury, trial by your peers.
But you have to remember, here is a minister who has made an accusation against an innocent man with no evidence. And I know the Stephen Nolan show, for example, I was listening to it this morning, were castigated for making it a 2 or 3 day issue against Sinn Féin and basically accused of trying to poison Sinn Féin. It was a serious issue. You have a minister makes an accusation against an innocent man.
Bertie Ahern made the very same claim in the Dáil.
But he stood up the following day and apologised.
He said that he got the information from the security service.
Yeah, and he apologised the following day.
But he still
here we are many, many years later, and we still haven't had a public apology. Yes, he went to their house. It's easy to go to somebody's house and sit down around the kitchen table and say, I'm sorry.
You see, you're rerunning the election now. The people have made their decision.
I'm not rerunning the election. I'm just saying you said it wasn't. It shouldn't have been the issue that RTE made it out to be. Of course it should have been.
The people have said that it's not an issue because they went out and they voted. The top five vote-getters for Sinn Féin took 130,000 forced preferences between them. That is some vote to get. This is truly historical. And it's not a matter whether I agree or disagree with them on different aspects. But we have fundamentally changed now, and we have, you know, Micheál Martin and that. If Micheál Martin wants to ever be Taoiseach, he has to go into government with Sinn Féin.
He's already said he would. So
yes,
that's...
he will. And, I mean, I would predict that the next government, looking on the figures now, is likely to be Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin and the Greens with a rotating Taoiseach.
And when you say, I know I've heard this mentioned already, a rotating Taoiseach, people don't understand this. In other words, that they would make an agreement that Micheál will be Taoiseach for 2 years and Mary Lou will do 2 years.
Whatever time frame.
Okay.
And I think that's...
But do you think Mary would be happy with that, considering she actually got elected and Micheál barely scraped his way in there?
Well, I mean, if you look at the total polls for all of the parties, Sinn Féin took the biggest percentage of votes.
Should Mary Lou not get first shot at the title, so?
Well, I don't care who gets it, you know.
Because it does make a difference.
That certainly if there was to be some kind of a government formed without Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, then it's, she would be Taoiseach.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. Let me just listen to one or two WhatsApp messages that come in here as well. Stay there, Malachy.
Hey, Niall. Morning to you. Good afternoon. Listening to the debate, very interesting. Yeah. A major surprise to see Sinn Féin leading the polls. I hope Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil do the right thing and go to the people again and call another election. And then Sinn Féin can run 100 candidates and we'll get them in and they can change this country for the better. Any government from ex-Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael that runs a country financially into the ground and burdens their future generations with 200 billion in debt and then comes along and says, you know who will cure it? We'll put our hand into your pocket and take £500 a year off you because you own a bleeding house. They're disgraceful. And inheritance tax, people working hard all their life and then they come and say, we want some of that on tax money. Shower of feckers, a whole lot of them. Come on, bring on the second election and we'll give you a double on the answer. Cheers, Morris.
Well, I don't think, Morris, the second election is probably going to happen, by the way. But just mentioning in relation to what Malachy said a few minutes ago there, Paddy Power now giving odds on a Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin Green government, which looks more and more likely.
Noel, snap out, will you? Shouting Chucky Arlaw at the end of a speech. Chucky Arlaw just means our day will come. That's all. Our day will come. Come on now. And singing come out your black and tans, maybe it was wrong, but at the end of the day, it was in protest or basically saying, hope yours to Charlie Flanagan, who wanted to commemorate the black and tans. That's all that was. So will you stop now, will you?
I just don't think it was appropriate. You know, Chucky Arlaw, you might as well just say up the rah at the end of it. You know what I mean? I mean, it does. It is reminiscent of days that maybe we don't want to talk about or days we don't want to remember.
How are you, Noel? I'm going to tell you something. Are people absolute lunatics in this country to think that Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin would go into power together? It's never going to happen. Do you think Mary Lou MacDonald is going to bend over backwards and be told what to do with Micheál Martin and vice versa? Their views and opinions are too far apart for it to happen. Way too far apart for it to happen. And for all your listeners there, especially the lad from Cork, giving it a big one about the Sinn Féin and the links to the IRA and everything like that, that is the past, and the past is the past. And let me remind you, it was true Republicans in this country that won you your freedom from the Brits. So have a bit of respect for true Republicans in this country.
There you go, Malachy. Have a little bit of respect for the true Republicans in this country.
Well, I mean, if we don't want to be getting into that debate today, you know, that will take some time about who are the true Republicans. But I think what it does do, it brings into, and this is probably a debate for another day, the whole question of, because the further that Sinn Féin has moved from Republicans, the bigger the vote has gone, you know, and that's the reality.
Okay, well, stay there just for a second. Let me just go to James as well, because before wrapping up. James, you're a classic. How are you doing, James?
I know, how things.
Good, you're not happy today, no?
No, it wouldn't be. Look, people.
Your phone is breaking up there, James. Move your head, run into the kitchen, run upstairs.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, go on.
No, I understand people voted for out of frustration with the protest.
It was a protest vote out of frustration. Well, I can just about make out what you're saying. Okay, I'm gonna have to come back to you, James. Unfortunately, your phone is just all over the place. Unfortunately, we can't hear it.
And I just see, Niall, there, the latest count from Dublin Central there. Bourke is still in. The Fitzpatrick's votes will be distributed now, and there's a gap between him and Gannon of 481. Now, I can't remember what vote Fitzpatrick has at this stage. It must be around 2,500, 3,000. Now, whatever way that splits, we'll decide. That's it.
All right, okay. But hang on, let me just go back to James. I think his phone is better now. Sorry, James, go ahead.
Apologies for that, Niall. No, I can understand why people voted for Sinn Féin. It's understandable as a protest vote, but what the electorate don't understand is that Sinn Féin are the same as the other two parties in so many ways that I don't think they're going to be, they don't have the tools to solve this housing crisis. And that's what this protest vote was about.
Well, healthcare was the number one issue according to the voters on exit. Housing was the second issue. So those are the main two issues.
Well, what I'm saying, housing is directly linked to immigration, and this isn't an anti-immigrant thing. I don't.
Well,
you know,
I'm not going to disagree with you, right? But I'm saying immigration was very low on the list of people's priorities.
You weren't allowed to talk about it.
They asked people on the way out in the exit polls what they voted for and why they voted for it, and immigration, surprisingly enough, just came up at 1%.
But Noel, what I'll say to you there is, people have not made that connection with immigration and housing. Now, if you imagine that every year in Ireland we have 30,000 people coming in here. The central bank issued a statement, an official statement, saying to keep up with that demand, we need to build 34,000 houses a year. There's absolutely no government in this country that can match that demand. Absolutely none. It's impossible. At the moment, what, we built 15,000 this year? Mm-hmm. Do you think Sinn Féin, having never governed before, are going to get in and double that in their first
year? Well, they promised to do that.
Yeah, but it's
unrealistic. I know. I understand.
And what I'm saying is they're not willing to tackle any immigration issue, so they're now going to be in the same
Well, they're essentially an open borders party.
Well, no. In fact, their election manifesto this year, for the first time since 1998, actually has that they support controlled immigration.
Controlled immigration.
The first time. That's the first time since 98, because they were a full open borders party, which is why we're in the mess today, which nobody gets to talk about. And only fringe parties would bring it up. But they don't even get a voice on media. The people that did.
Well, the problem with some of the fringe parties, and I'm not having a pop, there were some good people in them, right? We had the Irish Freedom Party, you had the National Party, and but there was one or two head cases in there as well, who just went completely over the top, and that did them all the damage that was done to them.
Every party.
No, but what I'm saying, these are smaller parties, Malachy, so if you have one or two head cases, they're going to stand out. I'm not going to start mentioning names, and please don't on the air, right? But, you know, there were some good people in there who had some good ideas, but, you know, and absolutely everybody, I believe everybody should be in favour of controlling our borders, but you had Egypts in there who were coming out with the most racist nonsense I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I understand that, and that inflamed things, but also we can't have even a civil debate without being called racist or bigot.
Well, I always allowed civil debate.
You're the only one, which is the one I listen to you. But there is, to go to a whole election and not actually have this brought up, and when Verona Murphy brings up, and she might get in now.
Yeah, she did well.
When Verona Murphy brought this up and said, this is a security issue, we had 16 people in a truck, now they've disappeared into Ireland, nobody knows who they are, she was called a racist.
And she was shafted, yeah.
And the whole media went after, how can you solve these problems when you can't tackle them head on and directly? So what I'm saying is, the people today that think there's a new dawn with Sinn Féin in, Sinn Féin are the same, they practice the same.
In relation to what you just said, obviously Verona's doing quite well, she may get in. Noel Grealish, of course, was elected, and he was accused of the same thing as well. Just to mention, by the way, just some updates there. Gino Kenny has been elected in Dublin Midwest, and Claire Kerrin has been elected in Roscommon, Galway. And did I mention Emer Higgins?
There has been no Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael
in Waterford.
Galway, Roscommon.
Or Waterford, there's no sitting TD in Waterford as well there. And I know there was suggestions there, by the way, from one of the elected down there that Leo Varadkar should step down as leader of Fine Gael.
He's gone in 6 months anyway.
Yeah, well, Fine Gael, Emer Higgins has also been elected in Dublin Midwest too. So just to give you an update.
It's interesting that the people who haven't retained their seats, the most vocal and vicious proponents of abortion, the female ones particularly, are all gone.
I know that was mentioned last night by the journal.ie. I don't know why it's relevant. When I say there's a lot of women have lost their seats.
Yes, and I see somebody was tweeting there that a lot of people were voting all the way down just for women.
That's not true.
And this is where their gender quotas nonsense comes in. They're not running the best candidates, they're running people just to fit an image.
This time around, there's more men now than there was before, and less women now have been elected in this particular.
50-50.
Well, I mean, it's gone down now because they've lost women and they haven't been replaced. There are some good new women that have come in with Sinn Féin, but in saying that, there's less women now this time around.
Yes, isn't it terrible that the people have the vote?
Yep. All right, listen, on that note, we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you very much indeed, and thank you, James. Thanks, I absolutely take your point on board, and maybe we should discuss that in a different way, maybe later on tonight after 9 o'clock, all right? Lots of people are texting in. By the way, not that I'm cutting you short in relation to what you're saying, because I absolutely agree with you. If we continue down the road we have in immigration at the moment, we are going to continue to have a problem with housing, and that does have to be addressed. And I don't know why, we all know why it wasn't spoken about before the election, because everybody was told not to talk about it.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.